Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. It's always fascinating to watch a business meet a need that benefits people on a basic human or commercial level. My guest found such a need in sub-Saharan Africa, where electricity is not reliable, but demand is great for refrigeration. His company, Coolbox, provides sustainable solar-powered cooling systems to address that challenge of unreliable electricity in underserved areas. Ayula Dominic is CEO of Coolbox. And for everything about Coolbox, go to coolbox.com and follow them on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube. And Ayula, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much, Mr. Stenberg. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You can just call me Ira, please. What's your background before we get into the business that you're doing now, which is fascinating to me, is what's your background? How did you get into this world?
Thank you. So I'm a pharmacist, studied pharmacy as an undergrad. I was fortunate to I've worked in several multinationals, from AstraZeneca to Laboratoire Sevier to L'Oreal. We had worked in different geographies and also in different disciplines. But I would say I've worked about 18 years of my life in the healthcare industry. My last role was Director of Operations for Middle East and Africa, for one of the biggest French companies in the world. It's actually the second largest French pharmaceutical group in the world, called Laboratoire Sevier. There I had initiated the acquisition of the biggest pharma deal in West Africa, which is acquisition of a company called Sweeper. So I'm very passionate about development. I'm very passionate about the problems that we're trying to solve. And that really gave me an opportunity to see the challenges we have in the coaching sector. Having grown up in a medical family, where both parents are medical doctors, my other sister is a medical doctor, I'm a pharmacist. So it was quite apparent the kind of challenges we face in sub-Saharan Africa when it comes to coaching. You get to see patients dying due to lack of vaccine that can be stored properly. You see people dying from insulin medications that normally should be administered between 2 to 8 degrees Celsius, but because of that, they're unable to access it and therefore lose their doses and therefore lose their lives. So this we saw growing up. And of course, I promised myself that definitely if I have a way to solve this problem, I'll be more than excited to solve it. And that's what we're doing right now.
And you're not only CEO, you're co-founder of the company.
Correct.
So you looked at, and from what I understand, you've got about 26 countries now you're involved in. And what's interesting, correct, it's affecting about 600 million people. And it has to do with something you don't think about generally, and especially in the West, which is refrigeration. We just take it for granted.
Correct.
And you're looking at it as a point of view of how do we make this available? And you can describe what the unit is in a moment, but how do we make this available to underserved areas? But at the same time, it's not just, you're not donating it. It's a commercial enterprise, but you've set up a unique way to finance it from both the consumer and from the vendor point of view, people that use it that are commercial people also in those areas.
To get your question really well, Ira, you want to know, how we get these products available to all those customers all over the world, and what exactly is our innovation? So I'll take it from the top. So 600 million people in sub-Saharan Africa lack access to refrigeration, lack access to electricity, and therefore lack access to refrigeration. And you're very spot on, as compared to Europe and America, where you have 100% penetration in refrigeration, you'd be shocked to find out that in sub-Saharan Africa, it's only 17%.
Amazing.
I repeat, only 17% of people have access to refrigeration. And that's the problem we're trying to solve. So about 3.5 years ago, myself and the co-founder, Deborah Gell, we decided to found a company. Our goal was to make refrigeration affordable and accessible to everyone that needs it, irrespective of your status, your class, who you are, or where you live. And what we also figured out is that we've been talking about let's light up Africa Let's light up Africa. Let's light up the world. But very few times you hear anyone talk about refugees in the world. Let's refugee Africa. And that's the problem we're trying to solve. So 3.5 years ago, we started a company. Our mission was to make refugee affordable and accessible to everyone. And we used the natural forces of water and the sun, which are extremely abundant in Africa, to create a solution that is able to generate refrigeration for up to 4 days, whether or not you have power, whether or not you have sunlight. And of course, the question is, what good is the technology if no one can afford it? Looking at the kind of customers we serve and the peculiarity of the customers we serve, we integrated in our units a pay-as-you-go technology, enabling individuals and small businesses to be able to pay as little as $10 to $15 every month to own a solar refrigerator. So thanks to Coolbox freezers now and refrigerators, people can actually pay as little as $10 to $15 monthly to own a refrigerator. And that's what we do. And today, like you rightly said, which was spot on, we're actually in about 26 countries globally where this product actually serve different people. Yeah.
Now, what you're doing too is you're combining, which I think is a great idea, natural resources, the sun and other elements, but you also combine it with lithium batteries. So you have a combination of modern technology and eternal technology, which is what I would call the sun technology.
Correct.
And you're able to make this work. And what I thought was interesting was you have set it up so that you have the pay-as-you-go, as you mentioned, but you also have this four-day factor, which is interesting too, because in other words, let's say you have no sun or something goes wrong, you still can keep things refrigerated for up to 4 days, and then things will kick in again.
Yes. So the concept is basically using the unique properties of water that enables us to be able to store energy in form of ice, as opposed to just saying energy in batteries, in lithium batteries. So you have these compartments in these freezers or these refrigerators, just for this purpose, let's call them ice compartment or water compartment, built into the refrigerators, so that during the daytime, when you have energy from the sun, ice is made in this compartment, so that at night, when you do not have energy, again from the sun, the ice made in these departments keep the products cool for the next couple of days. Now, of course, the question about the lithium. So why the lithium? We do have different customers, right? And we have with different cooling needs. Some of them want to just cool and some of them want to freeze. Now, for customers that want to sell drinks, or they're basically into selling drinks and or fresh fruits, they don't necessarily need to freeze. They just want to keep the temperature between 2 to 8 degrees Celsius. And that's fine. However, we do have certain customers that wants to freeze. They want to freeze their meat. They want to freeze their fish. And of course, they want to make ice blocks. In such situations, we need it to complement with the lithium batteries. So for the first time ever in Coolbox as well, we actually created a freezer that actually comes integrated with lithium batteries. So as opposed to just seeing laptops with lithium acid batteries integrated, we actually have fridges and freezers that have embedded lithium acid batteries in them, along with the ice thermal storage technology, which we developed. Having those two technologies to a large extent helps reduce the costs of lithium batteries, because then the amount of the energy required is now split in between the two, which is the ice thermal storage and, of course, the lithium acid batteries. I don't know if that answers your question. But
it does. No, it's fascinating stuff. Do your units take different sizes? Because you have people, for example, a bar or a lounge would like to serve a lot of people and not have access to refrigeration or freezing, whereas a homeowner or a person that lives in a small room needs just a little bit of a unit. So are there different size units for this?
Yes, there are different sizes. They range between 200 liters to about 700 liters. And We serve basically commercial customers. I would say about 90% of our customers are actually commercial. They're small businesses that require refrigeration for income generation. And you had mentioned homes. For now, we really do not see home like a main market, because even when we see domestic buyers, we see it more like a location in which commercial activity is being carried out, because there's no cost justification for buying a freezer at $1,500 just to keep it at home. So if they buy it and it's domestic, it's often that they want to sell drinks to their neighbors, or they want to sell fish to their neighbors, or they have a small restaurant at home and they're cooking out of the garage or out of their kitchen to serve neighbors. And that's what we see. So we still view the domestic as more like a location through which commercial activities are carried out when they use refrigerators. So for now, we're fully focused on small businesses that require refrigeration for income generation. That contributes about 90% of the total set of customers that we have, and about 70% of them are actually women. Yeah.
Interesting, too, that you not only provide this service or this product so that they can generate income, but if you think about it in the macro sense, this generating of income contributes to the overall economy, which includes paying taxes to government, also helps the other people within a certain area. Their standard of living goes up as well, because you're spreading the wealth in a way through commercial activity that before could not take place because there wasn't reliable electricity. So it sounds to me as if it's capitalism making social good in this case, because you're allowing the growth of the economy in certain areas where you couldn't have that growth due to the fact that there's insufficient refrigeration due to the fact that there's unreliable electricity.
Correct.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say that, go ahead, if you have a question.
Well, no, that was just more of a statement.
It was just me
pontificating, which I occasionally do when I get interested in a subject. So you were at the Clinton Global Initiative, and what was your purpose in going there and talking to the audience?
Fantastic. So we're there basically for one, showcasing our work. We do in Sub-Saharan Africa, and of course, going there to launch our next round. We recently just closed a round of $5 million in equity, and we're about to close the debt portion, which is $16 million altogether, a $21 million round. And of course, we're there to start talking to potential partners on how we can scale the product or the service to other parts of the world, and potentially to meet partners, NGOs that might be interested in procurements for certain regions. And that really went well. I was also there to launch the cooling report by IFC, which talked about how big the market is in emerging markets, $300 billion market, go to $600 billion in the next 3 to 4 years. So it's quite huge expectations, and that was the reason why I was there. And it was quite rewarding, I would say.
I have an idea for you, but I want 10% if you go with it. Okay, so
please go ahead. I give you 10%.
Okay, thank you. Even in rural America, or even in areas that are hit by floods or hurricane, etc., there are periods of time where there's no power. So you could theoretically provide these units to even cities and communities in the United States and other countries that can keep things refrigerated until such time as things get back to normal. Have you thought about that? And I know you haven't, because I just gave you the idea. Am I correct?
No, we haven't.
Okay. But we've had for it in that sense. Yeah.
We've had a few. definitely. We're supposed to be in Las Vegas for an event. Hopefully we'll be able to showcase our technology to different people in America, and perhaps you might be able to get some optics from those kind of regions, but we'll be in America in January.
Yeah, well, I'm based in Las Vegas, so I'm going to come see you.
Oh, goodness. That's so cool.
So that'll work. Yeah, when are you planning to come? Is it in the next couple of months or?
It's going to be in January, early January. So definitely.
All right. I'll be around. Maybe I can sneak a look and get my temper in, too.
Yeah, you know.
Now, the other thing that's interesting about your company is you have somehow managed to merge the technology, not only in terms of the refrigeration, but in terms of data. So you're collecting data from each unit. And I don't know how that's communicated. Maybe you can explain, but you're collecting data so you can see how it's being utilized, which helps you down the road. How in the world do you collect? Is it by cell service or how do you do that?
Thank you very much, actually. That's a very good question and I'm very passionate about. Yes, we do. Today we have a lot of people actually from think that we're actually dealing more or less in the hardware, which is the freezers. But the reality is what we're actually dealing with is actually the data. Our CoolBox is much more than that. And that's because today we are able to receive from each system on the field the number of times the customer opens or closes the refrigerator. We know the temperature in this refrigerator. We know the billing history of those refrigerators because they pay us month and month. We know the location of those refrigerators. We know the energy consumption of the refrigerators. And the reason being that we've got thousands of freezers with frozen food all over the place is absolutely non-negotiable for us not to be able to understand these freezers if we truly want to offer a unique service to these women. Most of our customers are women between the ages of 45 to 60, and they've got their whole life in those refrigerators. If anything happens to those freezers, we don't stand a chance of just losing the goods in the refrigerator. We stand a chance of losing the woman herself. So we see it as a duty, moral duty, to ensure that we know whatever is going on with those refrigerators. Even offer what we call preventive maintenance. And the main goal of this was basically initially to be able to serve our customers better. But with the age of AI, we're beginning to see that this data could actually serve better purposes for extra value-added services in the future. One could be matchmaking. We have these customers on our platform that generate data, which is, for example, a fish farmer who uses our refrigerator. And then we have a frozen food seller on the same platform. Why are we not connecting both of them, eradicating the middlemen? Also, we have thousands of women with historicals of a monthly billing. Why are we not plugging them to microfinance companies to help them with their inventory financing? Again, we have hundreds and thousands of frozen food sellers on the platform. Why are we not, through AI, matchmaking them with potential uptakers through Uber Foods, Bolt Foods, Deliveroo? These are plugs that can be easily connected to our ecosystem to help these women improve their sales. So at the end of the day, CoolBox is an entire ecosystem of data that can be accessed by each of these partners. And we only have 6,000 units on our platform today, and we're just about to scale. Now imagine if I have hundreds of thousands on that platform, the opportunities we're creating for people in sub-Saharan Africa just because they got a freezer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, of course, I got a little queasy when you're talking about how you were able to monitor how many times they open the door, how many things they do. It's a little bit like stalking, but okay, I understand why you're doing it. It's CoolBox, K-O-O-L-B-O-K-S. CoolBox.
Yeah.
And so
I can tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can tell you more about that. Yeah, because you see, a lot of times, because it's a pay-as-you-go, it's quite important, you know, if the product, if the customer is a bar or if it's a restaurant. If it's a bar, they probably open more at night. And then the energy consumption at night would be increased. You can optimize, you know, when you have to stay awake, you know what the challenges are when you're troubleshooting from a distance. If it's a restaurant, you probably do more during the day and the foods are always heavy during the day. And you probably need extra energy during the day. And so when you're even troubleshooting, you already have a goal in mind of what you want to do. Energy consumption as well would be tracked based on how often, because when you open your freezers often, you're losing energy as well.
Sure.
So those are non-negotiable, particularly if you want to offer, you know, excellent service. And of course, they do sign up to this data terms because they need it. They don't really have a choice, actually.
How do you distribute the unit itself to these different areas? Is it by a third party, or you personally put it on your back and carry it over?
Yeah, we have both. We do both ways, actually. So we do have situations in which we have to put it on our back with our trucks. And then we do have third parties. I'll say it's a 40-60, 40% done by Coolbox in-house and 60% done by third party.
Ah, okay. And I know we talked a little bit about the pay-as-you-go. That system it's set up, how do you work that in terms of, again, you're dealing with an area that's not overly sophisticated in the world of finance, the way we think of it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is, which is why you're providing freezers and refrigerators there. But how do you set up the payment mechanism? Is it through the mail? Is it through cell service? Is it through a card or a credit card? Or how is it? Or online? How is that worked out?
Good question.
How do you do it?
All of the above. So I'll say 10% with the cards. I'll say 60% with what we call third-party banking agencies. So in some of these rural areas, they do not have the real bank. So you have third-party banking agencies like mobile money. Mm-hmm. So they have wallets through which customers can pay. And then the others are purely through bank transfers. Critically, I would say bulk of our customers use third-party banking agencies. And these third-party banking agencies are usually in big markets, colorful, where you can walk up and tell them what you want to do. I want to send X amount of money to this account. And that's how it works mostly. Yeah.
Have you had any customers that wanted to pay ahead and in cash? So if they estimate what they're going to use and give you cash for a year, that type of thing.
Sure.
We have a slight delay so people understand we're not talking over each other. It's just that there's a slight delay with Zoom. So you have people that will just pay cash and you guys are fine with cash. Who is fine with cash? Yes.
Yes, we definitely have customers that are fine with cash up front and this is true, yeah. Because in an environment like this, yeah, we in as much as we try to discourage cash, some of our customers actually still based on cash, transact based on cash basis. Right.
I'm going to give you another idea. So there's another 10% I want from you, and that is, have you thought about putting these units on boats or ships that may have power issues, and you could keep the food and drink cold on board? Not a commercial vehicle, a commercial ship, which probably has enough power, but you have various ships that may not have the power to do it.
Fantastic. Initially, when we had started, we thought about that, but then I think it's something that should be explored as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So that's 20% now I'm making this for this. This is great.
I agree.
You should probably just hire me to work for you and we can
do this. Know.
Have you come across any stumbling blocks with either your customers in terms of their use, not the product itself, but that they don't necessarily understand the concept of what it is? They know it works. And really, as a customer, all you care about is a unit working. You don't necessarily need to know the science or technology behind it. But do you ever get a customer that's just, because they're not sure of what's going on, they may accidentally damage the lithium battery or do something else? Have you had those situations develop?
Sure. We have huge challenges with customers, particularly in this part of the world. Not too easy because, you know, people just assume it's solar and you should work around the clock. So they forget that, yeah, he has a battery that needs to be charged. So they just want to know that, oh, I put it in, the sun is out, sun is down, you should be working around the clock, right? Because I've got energy, but the level of energy that has been captured, they don't care. They don't know about it. So if it shuts down in the middle of the night, they come calling. Hey, my fridge is shut down. It's not up yet. 7 a.m. in the morning. Hey, mom, you have to wait for the sun to come out.
Exactly.
And so we get a lot of that, you know, and that has been one of the major problems we've been getting, which is more or less around education.
Yes, educating the kind of customer, sure.
Correct. On how a solar system works, in fact. So I would say, in fact, if we have 80 complaints, 60% of that complaint would be basically purely due to the knowledge gap.
Do you see with technology improving all the time, and it just does, do you see that period of time that you have of keeping something cold for 4 days in between charges, so to speak, with the sun and the batteries, lithium batteries, that 4 days can go longer to 5 days, 6 days, a week, even longer than that?
Sure. I see happening. I see what I see happening really, I mean, is really, have we seen all the day that the surface area of solar panels reducing by the day? And we have those massive panels. I'm sure in the next couple of months, I would say, probably have the solar panels that probably be the size of this phone and be able to power the power building. I think that I'm very sure. So reducing the sizes of those massive structures. So I confidently believe as well that in a couple of months down the line, we'll be able to see a longer temperature retainers,
right,
with thermal storage solutions. Quite a number of them have been worked on currently.
Yeah. Last question. What do you see for the future of the technology, the future of the units, the future of your company?
Yeah, thank you. I see Coolbox finally as an data ecosystem provider. Like I said, where thanks to all those units on the field, we're able to get data from each one of them, and we're able to optimize sales for all our customers. We're selling businesses, actually, and we're selling data in a smart way. That's how I see Coolbox eventually. We're looking at ultimately food security, reducing food wastage, and it's beyond Coolbox. We have to think about making refrigeration affordable and accessible. It's about making LG, Samsung, name the affordable and accessible. Yeah, and we'll do that as much as we can. So I see a future in data going forward. I would liken it to Tesla and the robotaxis. And Amazon and the data portion of Amazon cloud services. So that's how I liken it. So just like starting with a lemonade stand, and then you figure out, we got a lemonade stand. We can also sell Coca-Cola, and we can also sell Fanta. And that's how I see the opportunity with data in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to leave it, and especially since you're making me a partner. That is, my guest has been Iola Dominic, CEO of Coolbox. It's a company transforming refrigeration solutions across Africa. For everything about Coolbox, go to coolbox.com. And you can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube. And Iola, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Your pleasure.
Thank you. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.